It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickert is out today. Coming up, we'll meet two Wisconsin researchers who are weaving solar power into our lives, literally, with a solar textile project. First, in a post-Citizens United world where monetary donations are considered a form of political speech, do laws that force some nonprofits to disclose their donors constitute a suppression of speech? That's what State Director of Americans for Prosperity Eric Bott says in a recent editorial in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He wrote that public disclosure laws could jeopardize free speech here in Wisconsin. He's with us now to lay out the case. Eric, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Afternoon, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Well, make the basic argument here. How exactly is free speech under attack from the idea of public disclosure laws?
Sure. Well, let's take a step back and frame the issue. What we're really talking about here is the regulation of a very narrow form of political speech known as issue advocacy. And issue advocacy is not direct communications from campaigns, and that is regulated, and donations to those efforts are disclosed. And it's not express advocacy. It's not the super PACs that we hear about. Generally speaking, those activities are also disclosed. What issue advocacy is a very small portion of the political spending in the country, about 4.5% of all dollars spent, and it's groups like the League of Conservation Voters or Americans for Prosperity or Planned Parenthood that talk about policies and talk about the positions that politicians sometimes take on those policies. And so it's a different type of speech than the typical campaign speech we're often talking about. And the reason that the government reporting of people's private giving to these organizations is problematic is really threefold. Number one, there's academic literature simply doesn't back up the fact that it increases transportation or transparency or voter awareness of issues. In fact, we've seen multiple publications come out that show that there's virtually no marginal benefit for the average voter. The people that are benefited by these disclosure laws or government reporting laws are typically political operatives who can then utilize that information to either spin a false narrative or to somehow harass and intimidate their political opponents. And then number two, we see that there are actually benefits to issue advocacy, well established, that issue advocacy groups that get together, contribute money, and talk about policy increases voter knowledge of issues and increases voter turnout, which I think are both very valuable things in this country. As we've seen across the country recently, and I think increasingly, unfortunately, is that as states have passed laws requiring the disclosure of donor information for issue advocacy groups on both the left and right, we've seen a lot of incidences of harassment and intimidation. And I think that has an effect to chill speech and is a real danger that policymakers need to consider.
So the two different types of groups you're talking about, if a group says vote for or against candidate X and I donate money, that's disclosed, as I understand it. But if the group says candidate X has done a terrible job on the economy and that's all they do, then there's no disclosure there. Is that right?
That's the case right now in Wisconsin and is the case in many states around the country. And it may not even, the speech actually may not even involve a candidate's name whatsoever. It could just be an organization getting together to talk about any particular issue that they believe firmly in. And then that, you know, as some people have proposed, that would then be regulated and subject to disclosure of who's been donating money to those organizations.
But looking at two ads run on the same day, one ends with the phrase "vote for candidate X," the other just says "this candidate's doing a great job," .. and it's election season. From the voter's perspective, are they really that different?
Well, you know, from the Supreme Court's perspective, they are very, very different, and I think it's really important that the courts have recognized that they are different. The courts in this country have long held that the only legitimate purpose to regulate and impose burdens on the freedom of speech and the freedom of American citizens to assemble and petition their government is to prevent corruption or the appearance of corruption. And that's a very fine limitation, and it's important that we don't overburden political speech, as it's some of the most important speech that we have to protect in this country. And so it's critical that we allow people to get together in groups and talk about what they believe, and that includes spending money to educate other people about what they believe, and that's a very important part of our political discourse. And, you know, one of the other groups that really tends to benefit, and people ought to consider this, a group that really benefits from this type of regulation is incumbent politicians. And that's where we as a group like Americans for Prosperity often are concerned. One of the things we do is hold politicians accountable, and if you followed our work in Wisconsin lately, we've often been holding Republican politicians accountable for the promises they make to their constituents and for the positions they take on policies. And that's not always popular, right? And so politicians will oftentimes turn to these types of regulations to try to chill speech and chill the activities of organizations that speak to power and that try to hold them accountable. And so anytime we're going to have, we're going to face any type of regulation that's going to limit the ability of citizens to get together and hold politicians accountable, we want to be very suspect of that.
Talking to Eric Bott from Americans for Prosperity here in Wisconsin about an op-ed he wrote on the idea of requiring public disclosure of donations to what are often called issue advocacy groups that spend money on political issues and advertising related to that. But Eric, if we have this disclosure, it doesn't limit really anyone's speech. It's not the government limiting someone's speech. They can still make that donation, and ultimately it provides the voters, the public, with more information about who's supporting what. How's that bad?
Well, what we've seen in states like California that have advanced these sort of government reporting laws are a lot of consequences for people. There's a woman named Marjorie Christofferson who managed a restaurant in California called the El Coyote. She gave a $100 donation to support a ballot initiative, and people found her information, her personal information, her name, her address, her home address, her employer, and her position, and they protested her restaurant. And for the sake of that business, she had to resign her position. So a woman lost her job over $100. Another gentleman named Scott Eckern, who managed a musical theater in California, he gave a $1,000 contribution to a ballot initiative. And again, under California's disclosure law, his name, his personal information, his address, his employer, that was all made publicly known to his political opponents, the people that disagreed with his position. And he, too, lost his job. We've seen people, you know, Jean Kokenauer was a miner, a very famous case now in West Virginia. She refused her boss's order to give a donation to a Republican and was fired from her job. And it's, I think, really terrible that we see more and more of these cases across the country where people are having their lives ruined. They're losing their jobs over a political belief or a position they take on a given issue. So there are real-world consequences to these sorts of laws. And one of the other problems we see is what we call junk disclosure. Oftentimes people will take very complicated information and presented in such a way as to convey the goal that they intended, advance their political cause. And it may not really give the public good information. So you'll see, someone report that, such and such a company gave a political candidate $50,000, when that may well be actually illegal. And in reality, what happened was that individual employees on their own chose to make those donations. And so it's really disingenuous to report as if a business gave those dollars when it was individuals making that decision. So does that information really benefit the public? I don't think so. And so there are real consequences here. And again, it gets back to, if the justification is transparency, well, where do the studies lead us? And the academic literature is pretty clear. Regular voters don't go and look at this information. It's viewed by politicians, the political elite, and operatives who then use it usually for negative and nefarious purposes.
And you mentioned earlier the concern of corruption. If I have a way to make, a secret donation, an undisclosed donation on behalf of a candidate, and the candidate can know that, and then they're passing legislation later on that benefits me or affects me in some way, shouldn't the public know about that and see if there's some kind of quid pro quo going on?
Well, in the case of issue advocacy, that would be unlawful coordination. And
but how do we know to investigate it if we don't know who made the donation?
Well, the politicians are, they're going to continue to do what they're going to do. And from the perspective of an organization that talks about issues, what's absolutely critical is that we continue to have the right and that our members across the state continue to have the right to talk, to have their voices heard, and to talk about the policies that they believe in. And that comes first and foremost. And that sort of activity is currently illegal, and organizations are very closely regulated by both state regulators like the GAB in the state of Wisconsin and the Federal Elections Commission.
Are you concerned, given your worries about these disclosure laws, that this would happen in Wisconsin anytime soon?
Politicians in Wisconsin, both Republican and Democrat, have made calls for various types of government reporting requirements. And so it's always something that we're concerned with, particularly going into this fall legislative session when we know that campaign finance reform is first and foremost in the minds of a lot of elected officials in the state. It's something that we're watching very closely.
Eric, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Sure, thank you.
That's Eric Bott, Wisconsin State Director of Americans for Prosperity. He recently wrote an editorial in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel saying that laws that force certain nonprofits, issue advocacy groups, to disclose their donors is a threat to free speech.